Burn that rubber like I'm Michelin. Five star food that I dish to them. Chef sat on when I whip in the kitchen, and I switch suits like I'm Mr. Ben.
10-10 gear, I shift up to fifth. Blues in the rear and I'm swerving the mains like Tokyo Drift. Took a shot, but he missed. Then made love to the grin and kissed
the curb. What's the word? I dodge your case, so I flip the bird. Grab the bin, get back to work. Then I'm switching lanes and I flex out
hurt. I'll hurt him. One thing's for sure and two things for certain. When he gets made and the packs I'm serving, he mess with a cake and I bet him a burger.
Welcome back to the War with Fergie Do podcast. I am Olujimi, joined today by Mr. Francis.
Yo, yo.
And the man who loves to introduce himself.
El Maestro, the guarantor, your favorite guarantor's guarantor. I'm now on chapter 4 of my book. I'm actually releasing 2 books this year. I decided to put pen to paper on a sci-fi, and my erotica is almost done. The album is coming through fantastic. I'm actually getting a studio built. Well, not built. Like, I'm turning one of the rooms into a studio. I found a couple of producers. They've been sending me beats. So just working, man. You know, just working.
How was the encounter with Tim's?
She's cool. T's cool. You know, she's nice.
Oh, you call her T?
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, that's one of your best jokes.
Album with me. You know.
Said, do you call her T? Nice.
You have to be there. The album is mad, though. You guys really love the album when you hear it.
I feel like every time you come on this pod, you always add something extra every single time. Like, at this rate,
it's going to turn into that. I might show cameo in the video. I don't want to. There's not too much I want to give away, but there's a video coming out soon and a trailer coming out as well. You know, we're working.
Are we going to be in the trailer?
No, I'm not in the trailer.
Yeah, we saw the pictures you sent to the group with the Thames and a team. It was fire, man. I like the shirt you were wearing. Where do you get it?
I didn't send any pictures, man. What are you talking about? I didn't send any pictures.
Scandinavia.
You never know who's listening to these posts now. Somebody's like, I'm there next to somebody who'll be saying, like, this nigga is sending pictures. Come on, T wouldn't like that, you know?
Oh, so she does go by T.
I'm sure he's referring to Temu.
It's been like
arguing, but yeah, like I was saying though, album coming out you know, this year, working, getting some producers. It's been a fun experience, you know, creatives, when we gather around, you never know what you're going to get, but the chef's been cooking. You know, recipes are piling up and the work is getting done. I told you guys I'm going to put you guys for an interlude. I have some other people that I'm putting as an interlude. I have a radio host who's going to be doing at least one or two interludes, because it's going to flow with part of the concept of the album. So we'll see. But I'll find a way to finagle you guys in. Pause.
I'm very gay.
let's just get straight into it, because it's been a while since we pod it. Like, I think about 2 weeks now since the last pod. Our last pod was before the Brentford game, which we played. Actually, we showed up to the field, but I don't know if we actually played anything. The game ended 1-1. We were lucky to get away with a draw there. And then we went on to the next game, which I think we probably want to discuss a little bit more about, the Chelsea game, which we found a way to lose that game too. So we were down 2 goals. We came back to tie the game. We went up 1 goal. And then in the last, like, 2 minutes, we conceded 2 goals in extra time. So I don't know. I guess, El Maestro, where do you want to start? Where do you want to start from when it comes to Manchester United?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I mean, we've played 3 games, so it might not be worth it going into all the games in detail. We just finished playing Liverpool, which was 2-2.
Another game in which we found a way to bottle a lead.
No, we don't
actually think if you think about it, like in the last three games, like we were leading like basically into like almost nine. What Liverpool?
When did we lead against Liverpool? We didn't lead now.
No. Yeah, we were leading 2-1. What are you talking about?
Oh shit, we were leading 2-1. You're right. I blanked. I thought Liverpool actually scored two goals in the first half, but I just remembered.
Are you still in the studio?
My nigga, it's very rich coming from you, but you know I'm not in the business of snitching on my boys. No names.
Anyways, back to you. So you were saying about the game.
I think you know you asked like where do we start, right?
Yeah.
And when I think of it, I'm there are fundamental questions that I think we need to ask at the end of the season, right?
One is the coach to coach?
For me, that question is already answered. So I'm not really like...
So like, okay, it is dead to you? Sport, dead?
We can ask the question, right?
But do you think... Sorry to interrupt, because I know you are going to probably skip this. Do you think under new management and support and all that an ETH gets... some players to support whatever the fuck it is he's trying to do. You think maybe seeing one year under, you know, new system might change things, or Larry, for you, is already done. What you've seen enough.
What is the 1 year under a new system? What's the new system?
Yeah, I guess that was going to be my question.
By system is like, I mean, from a structural standpoint, not footballing.
But I mean, for ETH, what is the tangible difference in that structure? Is it the culture? Is it the, what is it?
Yeah, maybe now he's not in control of signing players, number one. And then they are signing players collectively that fit whatever system, you know, they agree to. So let's say they have a meeting and they say, okay, this is how we want United to play going forward. And ETH gives them a plan on saying, yes, it aligns with what I want to do. But in the past 2 years or 3 years, I've not been able to do it because I was handling a whole lot more off the field events, you know, doing the scouting myself. But if I'm going to just focus on football now and you guys sign the players that I want you to sign, I'm going to give you, for each position, I'll give you option A, B, C. If you can get any of them, then, you know, I'm ready to get the ball rolling. Are you willing to give him one more year to see if he can do it?
Nah, because again, I just don't see what the difference is based on what you are describing. So there are two aspects to this. The first is, from a coaching perspective, was he hampered by what is happening organizationally 100%? Right, like are there management decisions or the overall chaos that exists at United that affect him, dealing with Ronaldo, dealing with Sancho, dealing with the Glazers, the sale, all those things, 100% they affect you. That's fair, right? From the perspective of transfers, while we haven't handled transfers very well, he has gotten to sign players, right? He players that he wanted, maybe they weren't always his first choice, but a lot of those players that he signed are players that he signed off on, right? So from that perspective, to me, that's as much power on transfers as he's ever going to have. The new system is going to say, this is the style of play we want. We're going to identify players that fit to the style of play. The coach will adhere to the style of play that we want. Now, ETH might happen to fall into the style of play that they want or not, I don't know, right? But from ETH's perspective, he might not always have gotten his plan A, but he's gotten players, right? We spent something like £400 million on players since he's been around, I think. Maybe that number is at least £300 million, I would say. Easily. I don't know what the number off the top of my head is, right? So now, you signed some players in the two seasons that you've been here. Now, let's look at what you've done from a playing perspective. From a playing perspective, it is very hard to imagine us being worse than we are right now. Positionally, on top, in the terms of the table, we are not the worst that we are. But we are in no man's land, right? Because we are sixth in the table. So we're just looking at the Champions League spot. We assume that 50 is going to get us into Champions League this season. So we're just looking at the Champions League spot, but we're far away from the Champions League spot. We are 9 points behind Tottenham. And I think they now have a game in hand, right? I think we had two games in hand on Aston Villa, but Aston Villa was 11 points ahead of us. So it's not like we're battling. We're far away. The other thing is, from a style of play, we don't have a discernible style of play. Our style of play is actually directly related to the number of injuries that we have. So I can't even give you a pass for the number of injuries that we have, because a lot of these players are going to end up having muscle injuries because you are asking them to do too much. Was anybody here surprised when Martinez got injured again? I don't think it's because Martinez is an injury-prone player. When I saw Martinez coming off the bench, I just thought to myself, it is this same desperation that got this guy injured in the first place. Because when Martinez got injured and showed last time, remember I said this is ETA's fault. You guys said, nah, it could have happened on any. Then we Lindelof gets injured. You put Martinez on the bench. Somebody that was supposed to be out for a month. Now you play him. Now he's out again. Although they said it happened in training. But these things are an accumulation, right? Like all these players that are injured. So players are injured. There is no discernible style of play. The style of play that you've given us, it does not do anything for us from an aesthetic standpoint. We don't enjoy watching the games. We're not scoring goals. We're conceding goals. Like you look at everybody else on the table, the top four, Arsenal has like a goals difference of plus 50-something. We have a goals difference of minus one or minus two. Like, how can that be? So you don't enjoy watching the games. You are not scoring goals. You are not fourth. So you can say as a coach that, okay, at the highest level, the difference between like playing for coaching Brighton or coaching Aston Villa and coaching United is that at United, you have to get results no matter what. Right? Okay. If you are getting results no matter what, and we are doing the things that we expect United to do, then I can live with that. But if you are not doing that, if there is no style of play, if we don't enjoy the football that you are giving us, if players are getting injured, if the team is not consistent in any single way, then how? Like, we play Brentford, and everything we play looks like a good team against us. Every team we play looks like a great team. How is it that it is when you play United that your midfield dominates, that you now find a way to get possession, that you now start having all these shots that you've never had? Brentford broke a record on our head. Every team breaks a record on our head. So, like, where is the evidence that what you decided to do is even the right choice based on the circumstances that you face? And then on top of that, it's like, you are stubborn to a fault. When it's not working, you will never change it. I forgot Amrabat was even on our team. You play these formations and these players, and it's just like, pick a fucking direction and say that, like, even if we're not going to make Champions League, let us progress. So that at the end of the season, if we get to the end of the season and everybody says, United didn't make Champions League, you can say, oh, let's give this coach a chance because he played his style of play. And based on that, we think we can get better. If this is the style of play you're putting on the table and saying next year you give us your true style of play, man, it's time to get the fuck out of here.
No, but I think, again, I'm not in support of him or whatnot, but I think his style of play as well is dependent on, like, very, very solid or centre-backs, right? That can close the space between DM and midfield attack and defense. Because right now we have really slow guys and terrible guys. Like, I'm not saying I want him, but I think there's still some fundamental issue that is wrong with the team as a whole. ETH does not help himself in any way. Like, the part that even pisses me off most recently is Wan-Bissaka has not finished playing right back well. You're putting him in left back. Someone that can't really use his right foot to a T. You are making him use his left foot. Like, what the hell? Why don't you just play him in right back? And then Dalot has played left back a few times. Put him there. Like, some of this tinkering that this guy does is just so weird and strange. I don't know if it's a Dutch thing, but man, I don't know of any Dutch coach that has made it in EPL.
Yeah, but again, Francis, to me,
well, isn't that part of what we're saying as a whole?
Yeah, like to me, it's
no. Like, I'm agreeing with you guys. No, like, okay. Don't get me wrong. I don't want ETH. Like, I want ETH gone. I've said it from the very beginning. But I'm also saying, if they're removing ETH and they were not fixing the squad issue, the next coach is going to have the same issues.
That's a my fair point.
Yeah, but
that's
again,
a fair point.
Casemiro, like, Casemiro is fucking... Look at Casemiro. Like, is ETH supposed to enter midfield and be chasing... Anytime someone is running against Casemiro, the person is beating Casemiro, and the midfield ends up looking extremely
empty. Do we not have other options?
Which other option do we have?
No, we don't. We don't really have. Amrabat. The other option is Scott, though.
Which option?
We have Amrabat. We have Eriksen.
No, Amrabat hasn't really done anything. Every time Amrabat has played.
Wait, hold on. You guys just said Casemiro is done.
Yeah.
If he's done, then play somebody else.
Is it Eriksen you play?
Okay, my point is, you are saying that Casemiro can't play the style that you want.
I get what you're saying.
If we had somebody else, then we'll play him. Now, we don't have anybody.
We it's have not Eriksen. Players.
No, the only player you call now is Amrabat. To be fair, I've not seen him do anything this season. But I swear, I'm not removing Casemiro and bringing Eriksen.
I'm not arguing about that. What I'm saying is, you are saying that the style of play, okay. ETH has been there for 2 years. Are you telling me that in 2 years, you can't put together a style of play with the players that you have that makes sense? Like, this style of play does nothing. And that's my point. It's like, you're talking about, oh, we don't have fast defenders. Okay. But you play Casemiro that can't run, that can't sprint in front of your defenders. Then you push all your midfielders forward and you say, oh, press high, but have a low block that is closer to goal. So that means your midfield is always wide open. And we watch this every game. Every game we see the same thing happening. It's like your wingers can't even track back because you are asking them to run like
too much.
We talk about Rashford, and I think yes, Rashford body language, all that stuff. Rashford, Garnacho, you're asking them to do too much. Like, you want them to press, but then at the same time, it's like they don't have enough numbers to be able to. You are asking them to essentially press two people, and you want them to recover, and then you're asking your fullbacks to get into midfield to support your midfielder as well. But this shit doesn't work because we're easy to play against. Like, teams know where our our weaknesses are in the way that we press. So if you're not going to press, just don't press at all. Right? Like, for me, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know what you are doing. It's like half of nothing. You remember when, and I hate to quote Ragnick, but in this thing, I will. Remember when Ragnick said, you can't almost press. It's like either you're
it's like being almost pregnant.
We are almost pregnant. This is what we are. Like, we are. And so again, it's like, just pick a fucking style and a hustle. Like, the reason
why maybe this is the style he wants to play. Maybe this is the style he wants to play.
And that's what I'm saying. I can't wait for next season to see.
The style is high press, right? High pressing, like all the man-to-man high pressing. And then initially, in my mind, I think the fullbacks as well should be backing the press, especially when our wingers go inside to mark whoever has the ball. But our wingers don't do that. So you would always notice, once the ball is on one side, the opponent just flings it to the left back on the other side. And once they do that, everything is open because our right back is drawing back to the winger who is in no man's land on the other side, right? Then they bring the ball into the midfield and our midfield is open because we're trying to switch from one angle to the other. Casemiro positionally should just be in the midfield, just blocking the space in between where they would want to pass around. But Casemiro lunges into tackles, and once he does that, there is nobody in between our midfield and our defense. Secondly, our defense, if they have a high line, then our right back and left back can actually squeeze up and mark whoever winger is on the other side. But our defense don't do that because they don't have pace. The only pace center back we have is Varane, but Varane is not Varane of before. Maguire needs a few yards, or he needs to play closer to the box 18. That's where he's better, right? Because if you are playing a high line with Maguire, it's done. Anybody that runs in behind him, Maguire is not catching that person. So I think if we have center backs who are physically dominant and quick, and then a midfielder who can do the same thing, someone in the ilk of this Onana in Everton, for example.
Everton.
Yeah, but I'm not saying he should be the one, but I'm saying someone that has his skill set. Tall, quick, physically strong, can hold the ball. I think this can potentially work, but we need the right personnel to do it. Right now, what I think ETH is doing is, regardless of the personnel he has, he's still stubbornly sticking to this style of play that he wants to, I guess, in the future be playing. But he wants the players to get used to it now and then.
This cannot be. That is successful with this style of play that we're playing.
Liverpool kind of plays this way, but Liverpool, let me get there. Yeah, Liverpool kind of plays this way, but the thing that Liverpool does very well is, number one, they are wing backs, they back up the press. Number two, they are physically dominant centre backs that are quick, big, and can hold the ball. You have Van Dijk, you have Konate, you have what's his name? Gomez, whenever he plays and all that, right? So those guys can do that. And then in midfield, they have players that can actually hold the ball. We don't. Bruno Fernandes cannot hold the ball.
I don't agree with that. Again, I feel like
who can hold the ball in our midfield?
Hold on.
Besides
United
Mino.
Is not set up that way. Right, like you are talking about a possession style play. We are not set up
Liverpool doesn't play possession style play like
but
that.
I'm gonna agree with Francis.
Wait, hold on.
I'm gonna agree with Francis.
Because they have midfielders that can hold the ball.
Hold on. Liverpool does is that Liverpool allows you to have the ball. As soon as you have the ball, they have a pressing strategy for other people that have possession. Then when you get the ball, they can then press you and get the ball and start playing through you.
And once they get the ball, they can start playing. Why can't they start playing?
Yeah. Okay, but because hold on. You talked about they have fullbacks and they have this season, right? Liverpool have had Robertson be injured. They've had Trent and Alexander be injured. Van Dijk has played mostly, but Matip has been injured. Konate has been injured. It's Kwanzaa that is playing there. So what are you
playing where?
In centre back.
Yeah. What's your point? Sorry, I missed.
My point is that you are talking don't have the players, but when people get injured, anybody can come in and play that style.
No. You can't say that now. Number one, Liverpool has been playing that way for a long time. Right now, all the players. Wait, hold on, please.
Okay.
Liverpool has been playing that way since the past 3-4 years. So the system is already set in place. Everybody is training the same way. Number two, they have Van Dijk. Van Dijk has still last season when Van Dijk didn't play, Liverpool finished fifth or sixth. They started coming up when Van Dijk came back. Van Dijk in Liverpool system is one of the most important players because of his speed, he's physically dominant, and he can play the ball. United has none.
Van Dijk is not as fast as he was before.
I understand that. But right now, the only two centre-backs in EPL that you might say are equally or better than Van Dijk is maybe Gabriel and Saliba. Other than that, you are not calling anybody. Van Dijk is still the most dominant centre-back in Premier League.
So it allows Liverpool to play high up. And when it allows Liverpool to play high up, their right back and their left back can press wherever they want to press because they have Van Dijk or anybody at the back, confident players. Now, when they win the ball, they have three midfielders that can hold the ball and actually play. They have
McAllister.
They have McAllister, who's better than any midfielder we have. They have Szoboszlai.
I don't know about that, but
okay. They have Szoboszlai or whatever his name is.
So you're counting Bruno in this, right?
Wait, now let me. I have a point to make. In terms of actually holding the ball, Szoboszlai is better than Bruno. Bruno is better than Szoboszlai when it comes to creating chances. You can't. There's no doubt about that. But in terms of actually being,
that's not the point because Bruno is not the player that can hold the ball.
But that's what he's saying. Somewhere. He's saying Bruno can hold the ball now. But
I'm getting somewhere.
Yeah, no, but we're talking about. Larry, please. He said that. Okay, let me finish. Sorry.
I'm getting somewhere. Once they win this ball and they give it to their players, they have people that are confident enough to hold the ball and are not willing to just throw it away immediately. They have Diaz, who is the driver, who one-on-one, he can beat anybody. They have Salah, who is dangerous. So you need to bring two people to mark Salah. In the midfield, as I've talked about, they have people that are calm and want to bring people into play. In our team, we have absolutely none of that. Apart from Dalot, Maino, and maybe Anthony to an extent, you have nobody that can hold the ball or keep the ball, apart from Martinez and Luke Shaw, who have been injured almost all season. So, other than that, there's nobody that can hold the ball and bring people into play. Bruno Fernandes is the worst, the most annoying player I've ever seen in my life. And coupled with the fact that he's a fucking bitch when it comes to wanting to just any small thing, you are ranting. Like, are you not a leader?
I'm falling on the ground and they're holding his leg. And
you know what I mean? So I think once we have similar players that can do a bulk of these things, we will be better. And if this is what ETH wants to do, right, in the future, I agree with him wanting to just strip the bandit and get this instilled in the guys, and then maybe new personnel will change the way we play. But again, I'm just not there for his stubbornness.
So let me give you this. Sorry, before you go, Larry. I understand where you're going with this, Francis. But the reason why I would disagree with that is that, like, I feel like if that's what he wants to do, then let him fully commit to that. But I feel like he's playing. You can't play both sides.
But he's committing to it now. He's committing to it.
Because if he's committed to it, then our defenders will be high up in the line. If that's what he really wants to do.
No. I understand what you're saying. But if our defenders are high up in the line, I think this team will even be worse right now.
Yeah, but I guess it's my point. You can't have it both ways. Look at
Tottenham's coach. I see what you mean. Look at
Tottenham's coach. When they got injury to I can't remember the name of the guy that they signed.
Mickey van der Ven.
Yeah. They still play the same way. Granted, they let him more goals during that time, but he never changed his ways.
Yeah.
So that's my point. Like, yeah. So if you are saying this is what ETH wants to do, then fully commit to this. Let everybody know that this is a style. But when you are like telling your attackers to press, and then you have this in the midfield, then you're basically no man lands. Like we said, you are almost pregnant. So if that's what he wants to do, then he should commit to this start to the end of the season. I don't want to see any of this back and forth. And for me, another thing with ETH that just drives me up the wall is the substitution patterns for some reason. And I'll give you a good example. Even in the Chelsea game, he took Garnacho out. In this Liverpool game that we just finished watching, you knew Rashford was injured. You also took Garnacho and Maino out. Like, I don't get, like, the reason. Like, maybe you guys can help me understand why he does that. But, like, that I don't understand. Now, you've taken away your only guy who can actually run behind the defense. You've taken that guy away. And then now, like, Liverpool equalized and we have no outlet. So, to me, I think it's beyond some of this, like, the way we play. Like, I... from the beginning, from last season, I've said this thing, like, I just don't see him being a tactical guy. I feel like once his number one game plan gets done up, he has no backup.
No, yeah, Larry, sorry, go ahead. You go ahead. I've spoken.
No, I agree with you guys. When I started, I said, I think there are a number of questions we have to ask. I said the ECH question for me is not a question. And we've kind of talked about why, like I've explained why. The last thing I'll say about it is the thing that has kind of changed my mind, especially with this, is just seeing other teams be able to use the players that they have to play the style that they want to play. Right, like we talk about again, I keep going to Brighton or Aston Villa or Newcastle or Tottenham. These are not
Let's not call Brighton a big.
I think Brighton is a good team for what they have.
Yeah, okay, but I don't know. Hey, if, okay. Yeah, I know you want the Zerbi, right? I know you like him, his style of play, but I think the Zerbi is pretty similar to ETH, where he has no backup, no plan B.
Yeah, but again, you're talking about a team that lost its three best players.
A ton of players.
And didn't sign, like, who? When you look at that Brighton team now, who do you know?
No, I agree with you. Mitoma is not playing much as well as been done since the beginning of the season. You know, they have Luis Dunk, who is a tier 5 center back. I agree with all those things. But my point is,
the reason why I use them as examples is, as a fan of that team, right? Yeah. Even if they are not playing well today, you know what to expect. So even as some of these players are playing, next season, let's say he stays there by some miracle, he's probably not going to be there. But let's say he stays there next season. If they now say, okay, we need to sign players, you know exactly where you need to sign players, right? Like, even though the form of the team has not been great, you can judge players fairly on what they are being asked to do. And then there are some players that might be young that needed that first season and will be better for it the next season. When we play this halfway football that we're playing, it's like it's very hard to even judge some of these players. And I know a lot of them have failed. But it's like when the coach fails as much as this, like, it's so hard for me to even judge some of these players. Like, is it down to form? Is it down to what they're asking you to do? We don't create chances. Like, do you remember a time where Bruno used to score a lot of goals? We don't create chances. Like, the chances we
don't let Kenny hear this, like, one.
But my point is, like, again, it's just the inconsistency in, like, what I feel like we're flawed in terms of what we're asking the players to do. Yes, you can say that we don't have players that can hold the ball or something. I don't necessarily disagree, but let me see it. Right? Like, again, the other teams that I'm looking at, like Tottenham, if you said what you said about Bissouma this season, we saw Bissouma last season. He could barely get into the team. Nobody knew who Pape Sarr was. Like, we knew they signed somebody, but did you know what Sarr's game was? It was other players that you had there. And they made, how many signings? They signed Maddison. The guy, their fullback was even from the season before, and he looked like a flop already. I forget his name, Pedro Porto or something.
I know the guy you're talking about.
Yeah, like, a lot of these guys now look like world beaters, or at least they look like people that you'd be like, damn, that's not a bad team, right? Richarlison looks better. Like, I don't know if Brennan Johnson is going to be somebody, but you get what I mean? Like, it's just...
So what changed, though? What changed? Because last season, I think people were on the up with ECH. Like, I'm not sure what changed. I mean, this question is actually for Larry, because I think out of all of us, Larry was the most optimistic. And you had the right to be, for sure, because it looked like from a trajectory perspective, we were going up. Things looked like we're on the up. But what really changed?
To me, again, as a coach, you are constantly balancing between winning, especially at this level, winning and also trying to play your brand of football, right? The thing that I can give ETH a pass on, or like a little understanding on, is when you are manager of a team like United that don't have a proper structure, then you are only going to be judged on results. There's nobody that is looking at team building and structure building like the Glazers went. So if you struggled,
you know, you were going to get fired. Nobody was trying to say, let's give him a... Now, maybe these guys will give you that grace, right? So I understand him trying to find something that is different from what he might have wanted to play initially. At the end of last season, right, like we struggled towards the end of last season. At some point, we stopped playing that cohesive game. And again, it was those injuries that piled up on us. Now, coming into this season, he talked about being a transitional team, right? The best transitional team in the world. We talked about Liverpool as something similar to that.
Like you a barometer, need, I see what you, yeah.
Yeah, like as a, okay, they're not just purely transitional, but they are not as obsessed as like City or Spurs with holding possession. But the thing that Liverpool is absolutely elite at is their press, the commitment to it at all levels. So again, for me, it's like the thing that has changed with ETH is that he has not been able to show that he can problem solve. If you feel like you're getting these injuries, you have to understand why you're getting the injuries. To me, again, these injuries are like what you're asking your players to do. On top of that, you are not scoring goals. You are conceding the most amount of chances in the EPL at a record rate. So you're not winning anywhere. And then on top of that, when you talk like somebody that is delusional. Right? So where is your win? Where is your, like, where can you stamp your ground and say, this is my flag? You're talking like somebody that is delusional. You're saying that everybody can see the progress. We dominated this game. We played really well. Like, we're watching these games. We're not stupid. Right? And then on top of that, like, we're not scoring, so we're not entertained. We're not in Champions League sports. So where can you show that you know what you are doing? Like, where I can say, okay, this is it. That's what's changed for me. And like I said, it's 2 years. It's not like your first year. Like, Spurs are in their first year. But your contemporaries that are 2 years in, Eddie Howe in Newcastle, Brighton, again, Spurs, like, all of these teams have something to show, even if they are not winning. If United was in the position that we're in right now, we're 7th or 8th, but you can see that we have a discernible style of play that is consistent, I would be more willing to actually say, yes, let's keep him. If we were playing that high line and we were conceding chances, but we were entertaining, like if there was something I could hold on to, if we were scoring, if we were entertaining, if we were winning, I can say, okay. But we're none of those things. And then on top of that, we look terrible. Like, guys, every time we play a team, it doesn't matter what position this team is. They always look like they are like they discovered a new tiki-taka. They always dominate possession. They always create chances. Like, I don't know if you've noticed this. Like, it doesn't matter what level. We played that team in the FA Cup, if you remember. We're about to play the one that, Francis, you remember the name starts with N? The last time you were the one that helped me. It's like... Yeah.
Okay. Newport
were balling on us, man. Like, it shouldn't be that, like, every time you play a team that is, like, there is no level of competition we don't sink to. We play to the level of our competition and then we find a new level lower. And to me, there's just no evidence of coaching in that. But one last thing before I throw it back to you guys. So I was saying that there are questions that we need to ask.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's move on to the other questions. I think we beat the ETH.
Yeah. So the other question for me, because there's a question about Rashford. But more importantly than the question about Rashford is the question about Bruno, right?
Yes.
Do you think we can win with Bruno playing the position that he's in today?
I can go first. I don't know. I don't think we can. I think Bruno thrives on chaos, is what I think Bruno thrives on. And I don't think chaos is a sustainable way to win. If that makes sense. Yes, Liverpool, so to some extent, also thrives on chaos. But for Liverpool, I think it's more of an organized chaos, right? Because they want you to make mistakes so that way they can pounce on it. It's what I mean by that Liverpool's kind of chaos. Like, with Bruno, like, it's just like when you watch him play, and I think, and again, I'm not trying to put too much on Mino, But when you watch Maino, when Maino is trying to receive the ball, one of the first things you see with Maino is he looks around. He knows exactly what's behind him or in front of him. With Bruno, he gets the ball, then he looks up. And to me, I feel like you can't be a midfielder if that's the way you want to play. I don't know if that's something any coach can come and then say, hey, this is... Because I feel like that's the reason why he always feels like he's hot potato, because he gets the ball and then tries to figure out exactly what he wants to do with the ball. Or he doesn't think and he just punts the ball to a place where he thought the guy was supposed to be at. That's the thing with me and Bruno. And it's very frustrating to watch this guy play. And case in point today in the Liverpool game, he just kept playing these balls there. I'm like, who are you passing this ball to? Like, who are you? Like, maybe the guy was there like 5 seconds ago, but he wasn't there when you passed the ball. And then you now put your hands up and say, why weren't you there? Like you know, you get what I'm trying to say? Like, it's not your responsibility to know where you're passing the ball to. So for me, I don't think Bruno can thrive in this team. I don't think Bruno can thrive in this team. I think I'm done with Casemiro. Who else is there? Anthony. The only people that I'm not done with in this team is Maino, Onana. And I can't believe I'm seeing Onana. Onana has actually come good. Maino, Onana, what's his name too? Hoyland to some extent, because I don't even know what Hoyland has been doing too. But again, I can't blame Hoyland because we're not supplying him the ball. But everybody else can get the fuck out of this club to me. That's my answer. Francis, your thoughts?
I don't know if you guys recall at the beginning of last season when we signed ETH, I actually asked the question, do you think Bruno will be the guy?
Yeah, I remember you asking the question. You were like, maybe they should play Eriksen there, something.
Exactly. I think that was why we got Eriksen. And the reason I was saying that was because I was going off ETH's style in Ajax and how they controlled a lot of possession and all that. And I didn't think Bruno was the guy. And I still don't think Bruno is the guy. I think, Jibo, you've summarized Bruno very well. He thrives on chaos, but his chaos is not like organized chaos. It is negative chaos. It's like Bruno is the kind of guy that would like when there's a fight in school, just so he can miss classes. Like, that's how Bruno, he's that kind of person, you know. And I don't know if I was able to describe that very well, but it's like, I'm coming to school today and I know that they are fighting because all the classes will be cancelled. That's who Bruno is. If the game is organized and everyone is playing one touch, two touch, Bruno feels left out. He feels like he's not part of the game and he wants to be among. And I don't think if we want to be the kind of team that I want us to be, I don't think he
plays like that for Portugal, though.
And that's the thing, right? He doesn't really play like that for Portugal. And I don't know if he's the...
Does he... I don't really watch Portugal. Does he actually hold the ball in Portugal?
No, but in Portugal, they have players that can hold the ball, right? So there's no need for Bruno to be going gung-ho all the time. Because he has Bernardo Silva. He had
number one. That's true. You're right.
Yeah, he had Ruben Neves at some point. He has what's the name of this? There's this guy that plays for his DM. He's like black, like skin color is black. They have that guy too, who are all around them. They can hold the ball. You know, they had Cancelo at some point, who was part of their integrated in their midfield. Whenever he's playing, so. In Portugal, he didn't need to do that. But in Man U, my God. Bruno, like, I think before the ball comes to Bruno, the ball has already left him.
That's what I mean by, like, he placed the ball to where the guy was 5 seconds ago instead of where the guy is. You get what I'm trying to say?
What I'm trying to say is, before the ball is reaching his leg, the ball has left his leg. in his head, the ball has left his leg. And I'm like, Bruno, why can't you hold? And when he tries to hold the ball, I don't think he's physically strong enough. Or I don't even think he has enough support around him in midfield, because the spacing in our midfield is always too much. There's nobody around for Bruno to give the ball to. And when he doesn't see anybody in 2 seconds,
ah, the guy pricked on rice. He's spreading the ball.
No, did he?
Yo, he's spreading the ball. And I'm like, why? You know, and when Kene loves Bruno, right? And again, I can see why. But it's, the thing I can't really understand is you are supposed to be one of our most important players. Why aren't you being important in the game? You know, he's a huge problem. Bruno and Rashford, if this team is to succeed, I don't think both of them are to be, I don't think both of them will be a part of it. Personally. Well,
so again, like I said, those are two questions that I have.
Right? So Larry, I guess answer the same question. Like, what do you think Bruno can thrive if this team is supposed to be successful?
I think, because I want to be fair to Bruno, right? Like I said, for Portugal, he looks a little bit different. And when I watch him in Portugal, I don't want to pretend like I've watched a lot of Portugal games, but the ones I've seen, Bruno actually plays well. Like, he doesn't look out of place, right? And so for me, it's more like, in United, one, can you be like, so I look at obviously ETH, because what I think has happened is ETH has come into this team, the same thing that Ole did before. I don't really know, remember what Ralph was doing, so I can't use him as an example. Let me use the last two, right? Because Ole signed Bruno. It feels like they have conformed the team to his skill sets. So they have built a team that is around him and around Rashford to say, okay, Bruno is going to be our main guy because he's our chance creator, and we are going to play a style that suits him. I think that's one of the reasons why we haven't gone possession-based. I actually don't think it's about people like Scott, or because, in fairness, we can play a system where if we had a proper number six, so if we had signed someone like, say, Frankie de Jong, or even if Eriksen had more tires than he does today, let's just say, right, then you would, or if Casemiro was a little more ball press resistant, you would have a situation where you can have Martinez, Casemiro, and then Meno. But let's even take out Meno. Let's say you just had another midfielder there. But you have your defender, your central back, and your number six that are the first people that your first line out of your goalkeeper. So now Onana can play to those two, or play to your fullbacks, and those fullbacks can play into midfield. And then by the time Bruno gets the ball, he has a little more space because you've sucked in the opposition's midfield to yourself, right?
Pause, I guess, right?
And then that also then opens up spaces in behind for him to give some of these passes that he wants to give. Where I think we don't use Rashford well today, as opposed to like last season, is that one of the reasons why I think Rashford did well last season is that, as bad as it sounds, we had Weghorst. So Weghorst either played as a 9 or played as a 10, right? And either situation meant that Rashford could run in from his position on the right and keep making those runs in behind the defense, and you could find him because you had a defense like a striker there that could hold up the ball. Or sometimes Rashford would play as the number 9 and Weghorst would play as number 10. And Weghorst can win that first ball and then give Rashford the ball for him to run in behind. Right? Now, again, we have a lot of problems. I'm not saying that Rashford, but what I don't think we are good at, and that we start asking our fullbacks to do. So, like, you look at Liverpool, like somebody was saying today, Diaz can beat a man. I don't actually know that that's what he does or he's supposed to do. It's like when you watch Liverpool, you see that the overlap is always there. They're always looking for the extra man, right? So if the ball goes to Salah or the ball goes to Diaz, their game is not really just built on beating a man. It's creating a one-on-one or a 3-on-2, like an overload. So you either have, say, Diaz and the fullback overlapping where he can give the ball, or a midfielder running in where he can give the ball, or they're trying to create a triangle where it can end up with somebody being free and then running into the box and cutting it. When I say free, just free by like a second, where like somebody switches off and you can run in behind, or somebody does an overlap and the defender is not quick to like
chase after the man and you're playing the ball into space for your player to run into. We are constantly like at a standstill on our wings. And then even when we have counters, we don't look like we have like set patterns of play where players know where to run into, like when, okay, I'm running down the middle, you run this way, you run this way. And again, that's where, like, for me, the coaching is frustrating. But I, to go back to your question, the Bruno thing, I think he cannot be the focal point. He cannot, you cannot win. Well, I don't think, now I think we have a chance to say that you cannot win at the highest levels, right, with Bruno, like a Premier League title, with Bruno as your focal point. He can be somebody that is useful as part of the flow of the team, but he cannot dictate your style of play. And again, I don't know if maybe that's unfair to say that ETH chose this style of play, but I think he built the style of play to suit Rashford and to suit, what's his name, Bruno, and to say, okay, let's be transitional because we can get the best out of these two players if we are a transitional team. Because Bruno can get the ball and can just bomb the ball forward. It doesn't have to be possession-based, right? So that's where, to me, those are questions that we have to ask. The ETH question for me is gone. That's why I feel like of the coaches that we've talked about, I like De Zerbi. Now, I don't think De Zerbi is a sure thing necessarily. I like the way players that have played for him have talked about him. And then I like the fact that he has a style of play that he is going to be passionate. He's going to be partial to. Now, that also comes with its own problems, for sure. But at least it's not about just the players, you know. And then you have your system, like you have your support system. So you have your director of football, your, you know, technical director, your CEO, your scout department that can now sign players to support that particular system, not just this mishmash of players that we keep getting that don't necessarily fit any purpose.
Did we talk about the Rashford? Like, so what are your thoughts on Rashford? I know we've talked about Bruno. Do we think Rashford can be in this team?
Francis,
I beg. Rashford football is not in Rashford's mind anymore. Rashford he needs a change of environment, to be honest with you. And I don't think United is where Rashford is at anymore. He should be going.
Even under a different coach.
Like, we've had seven already. What would another coach?
So wait, are you talking about that from the perspective of this season, or you're saying in general Rashford has been a failure?
He said we've had
No. I'm not saying Rashford has been a failure, but I'm saying we've seen the best of Rashford. I think so, and I don't think at Rashford's best he's You've seen Rashford's best, and
best was last season. Let's just be
honest. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You've seen Rashford's best, and you've seen Mane's best. Was Rashford's best better than Mane's best?
Probably not. No.
That's what I'm saying, and I don't think Rashford can get better than that. Rashford is going to be 20.
Different things. If Mane was at United, you think his best? We would have seen his best. The height he lived at, he hit at Liverpool. Do you think he hits them at United?
Not from a an output perspective, but from in terms of commitment and hard work, I don't think Mane would be the same player anywhere. And the reason I'm saying that is because I saw him at Southampton and he used to play the same way, but his output was different. But then you could say he was young. He came to Liverpool at maybe 25, 26, and his trajectory was up and up and up. What Rashford is good at is being inconsistent. Each season, we start off saying Rashford would have a good season, and you don't know if he's going to or not, because we can actually debate it now.
In the past
6 seasons, he has a good season. He doesn't have a good season. He has a bad season. He doesn't have a good season. That's how Rashford has been. But Mane, when he came to Liverpool,
has been though. Wait, you are describing United as well.
I understand that. Yeah, I understand that. But what I'm also adding there is, apart from the output, Rashford's commitment is nowhere to be found. If Mane is not producing,
Mane's commitment will be something you would never fault him for. That's what Rashford has in him. So when Rashford is not playing well, it becomes even more obvious that Rashford is not doing anything for the team.
Yeah, but then why is he still playing?
Because who else is going to play? Right now, the reason why Garnacho is not benching him, to be honest with you, I think is seniority. Because in terms of producing, Garnacho has done way more than Rashford this season.
Yeah, but they are different players. Okay, so I'm not making excuses for Rashford, right? But in a regular team, so let's take Liverpool, City, Barcelona, Madrid, you are constantly fighting for your place because the person behind you might not be as good as you, but they are very good, right? Mm-hmm. You just said there's nobody to bench Rashford, right?
Yeah.
In a normal scenario, if you are struggling for form, you would be getting benched, right? And if you then get benched, you have time to work back into form. So you look at some of the players that we can talk about, right? Whether
Liverpool, because I get what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, I don't think anybody in world football, short of like Mbappe at PSG, has the same type of pressure that Rashford has.
No, and that comes with every player United. I think that's what you signed for. But I have a question for you, Seth, while you're at that. Do you think Garnacho has had a better season than Rashford this season?
Yes, Garnacho has definitely had a better season than Rashford.
And that's my point. But that doesn't mean
Garnacho is a better player.
No, he's not a better player. But where is Garnacho's best position? On the left. Rashford has not done anything on the left. But we end up trying to accommodate him and push Garnacho.
No, but there's absolutely else. Like, who are you going to play?
Play Garnacho. Who are you going to play on the right is your question.
Yeah, who are you going to play on the right?
And that's what I'm saying, too, because we don't have anybody.
But that's my point. Like, that's...
Yeah, you guys are basically saying the same thing, though.
We're saying the same thing. That's my point. If we had like players performing like Garnacho, Rashford should not be playing. If Anthony was performing like Garnacho, Rashford should not be playing.
Exactly.
We're saying the same thing.
Yeah, but where mine is different is that I'm saying that Rashford is not playing well and he still has to play. And the team is not playing well as well. Right? Like, the pressure that Rashford has is not the same as... Like, Bruno is not playing well. We are talking about Bruno today. But for the most part, Bruno doesn't get the same hits that Rashford gets.
Bruno does. And the reason why Bruno doesn't get the same hit is Bruno's off-the-field antics are nowhere to be found. You don't hear anything about Bruno outside playing football.
Yes,
Rashford, they always speak on him because of the other extracurricular activities that he does.
But that's what Bruno, I'm saying. So again, I'm saying
on Bruno now.
No, that's so what I'm saying is the decision about Rashford, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't just about has he reached his peak, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Because anybody else that you want to mention, whether it's Saka, whether it's Foden, whether it's Mane, these are people that function in good teams. I don't believe that you put Foden in this team and you see the foot. Like, people will be talking about Foden like you are talking about Sancho. This is what I don't know this for a fact because we can never test it out. But this is what I think. It's like the team itself choose these players up. Like, they are human beings. They are not like...
No, Rashford has I agree.
In this system. He's never been in like a winning system where we're winning Premier Leagues and there's a culture and it's only like...
I agree with you. But what I'm also saying is, outside of the team's performance, I look at your individual contribution to the team and what you do when the team is not playing well, how you apply yourself. Rashford doesn't do any of that. Like, you could... Look at Anthony.
Right? Anthony has been there for 1 year. Again, Rashford has been playing in this team.
No, that's not what I'm saying. even when Anthony plays rubbish, what you can't fault Anthony for is being committed. Being committed at all times. Even Bruno, I'll give it to him. What you can't fault him for is his commitment. Rashford, when he's not playing well, his body... You remember when we used to talk about Jan Uzay and how his body language was one of the most annoying things? Even Anthony Martial. Rashford has gotten to that stage. And I feel like he needs a change of environment to get out of that funk that he's in. I don't think he can do it. In United, he has become comfortable. He has become too comfortable. Nobody can challenge him. He's earning 350K.
But again, that isn't just about Rashford. That is about the team. That's what I'm saying. It's like
no, and I'm saying it's about Rashford. I'm saying it's not about the team.
I think what Larry
is saying is that you are saying like, yeah, it's solely a Rashford. Larry is saying like it's a combination of things. He's not saying Rashford doesn't have fault in this. He's just saying because of the combination of Rashford, the way he behaves, and also the fact that the team is not like has no structure, that when you marry those two things together, is what you get is like what Rashford looks like right now, is what he's saying.
And that's what I'm saying too. Oh, there are other players who are also in this team that is not playing well, but you can't fault their commitment. I.e.
Yeah, but Garnacho, but have they played their entire see again?
Back to what I said now, that Rashford is now comfortable in this team. And I think he needs a change of environment.
So wait, hold on.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
If you are, say, Vinicius Jr., right, you've done everything right at Madrid. You've progressed the way people expected you to progress. They are still signing players in your position every year that can take your spot. So if we are now talking about a United team that is in a better position, that is more successful, whatever success is, I'm not saying even winning Premier League. Let's just say you are challenging, right? They are Arsenal. And there's somebody else in your position, right? It's not like Garnacho is playing. Garnacho is fighting with you, but there's also somebody on the right. So there's nobody. It's you and Garnacho. Do you think you see a better Rashford, or do you think this thing that you're talking about just like getting comfortable is still going to be there? You'll see a better player. Like, that is the natural thing. It's like competition drives us to be better. And to me, it's like if you've been in the same organization, you have a job today. At your job, you've seen one manager come, say that we'll be better. Another manager come, we'll be better. After a while, you're just like, okay. Now, you're saying that the thing that you're going to do is, do you have personal pride? To me, that's not about the individual. But fundamentally, I feel like the team is what needs to carry you first. Because we talked about Tony Marshall, right? Tony Marshall was at United for years. When Mourinho came and said, I want to replace this guy, everybody said, Mourinho is going to kill another person's career. But Mourinho knew what he was seeing, right? But everybody gave Tony Marshall that grace. Now, again, Rashford didn't get to this position overnight. Young Rashford was running, chasing everything. He was Garnacho. So I'm saying the team itself, the culture within the team, the way the team is playing, the ups and downs, it will eventually eat at you to this point. Now,
okay, so you're saying you're not blaming Rashford. You are blaming the club. Although Rashford has some fault in him. You're blaming the club for not giving him the structure to succeed.
The decision about whether or not I want to keep Rashford is not about today, right? It's about the player there. Do I think that this is somebody that can actually play? Right? It's not about how much he's getting paid, because Sancho was getting paid more than Rashford for like 3 years. And wasn't producing, is to me just about the player. Like, now, if you have a structure, you bring in other players, and you're saying, okay, Rashford doesn't have to be the main guy. Because, again, that's the other problem. With him and with Bruno, they are the main guys, and you are building a team around them. I'm saying they haven't shown that they are consistent enough that you should build a team around them. Now, if you say that, we are not going to build a team around you. You are going to be part of a team. This is the style we are going to play. It's going to function. And within that, you are going to be able to, you will know exactly what you need to do as part of your team. Okay. Are you going to keep Rashford, or do you still say we sell him?
I would want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I won't just tell him that way. I want to see what the team is like and how he fits into the system. Rashford is not a bad player, but I think I've seen the best of him. And is the best of Rashford the best that's out there? No. So again, if we can get better, fine. I would give him the benefit of the doubt based on what I've seen from him. But if he doesn't perform, I won't lose sleep if we lose Rashford. That's my point. I won't lose sleep if we lose Rashford because I know that there's better out there.
Who?
A lot of players. Like, A lot of players.
Mention two names.
Everybody in England that's starting over him is better than Rashford right now.
Who? Foden. Like, we're talking about players that you can get to, right? First of all, what to be honest, mean? I would not take Foden for United over Rashford. Never.
No.
But they don't play the same position.
They don't play this. Thank you. No, but they don't play the same distance. But and England, unless our chance. No, they don't. The on paper, Foden can be on the left, but he enters the midfield.
Okay, so okay, give me the names then. Sorry, you said anybody that plays. Are we talking about Bowen? I don't know who's benching Rashford.
Saka is benching Rashford.
Saka is on the right, you know?
Yeah. So who's benching Rashford? Rashford start for England?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's but so who's, bench, like... who's benching him? Who's benching him?
Wait, hold on. The way we got here was, you said there are many people that are better than Rashford. Name one name. I'm just asking
I'm not struggling. Like, you now added a caveat saying, somebody that we can buy. Because if not, I would have called a lot more players. Like, Vinicius is better than Rashford. Can we agree?
Yeah, no. Again, those are players at top clubs. We are not getting those players, right?
Francis was just saying there are a lot of players that are better.
There are a lot of players better than him now.
This is what Francis said. I won't lose sleep if we lose Rashford because I know there are a lot more players out there that are better.
Okay, so that's fair.
That's not what I said. I said I won't lose sleep if we lose Rashford. You now ask me, okay, if we lose Rashford, who are we getting? I said there are a lot of players out there.
It's the other way around. Like, All right, cool.
We will chop this up again.
Back to the point. To me, because again, that's like, we don't know what's happening with Greenwood, right? You know,
like Greenwood is supposed to be better than Rashford right now.
I think if we had Greenwood, some of our problems are not going to be the same way.
Yeah, I think Rashford probably gets benched because it's going to be Garnacho and Greenwood.
Almost certainly Rashford gets benched. And I think then you see like an awakening a little bit more. Like again, if
many awakening. How many awakening? Mabeki is done. Done.
I'm just talking about the
nigga talking like is the mummy return. This guy is done, my G.
It's like the mummy return.
So again, for me, I think it's easy to say we get rid of him. He hasn't played well this season, and I've defended him early on in the season. But when I also look at the team, I just don't know. Like, we have Ama that I wish also got more chances. But ET doesn't want to play him for whatever reason. We have Pelestri that we've sent out on loan. We have Greenwood that is also on loan. We have Sancho that is also on loan. So the players that we now have left, we have Anthony, we have Rashford, and we have Garnacho. I thought against Chelsea might have been Anthony's, like, I didn't watch the entire game, but the pass I saw, I thought he played well. Like, he had a hand in some of those goals. Obviously, he gave away the penalty, but I thought he played well, right?
I still reckon that cross to Garnacho is one of the best crosses I've seen this season.
Whose cross?
Anthony.
The cross for a pass, not cross for a goal. Oh, no, you're talking about the cross for the goal, the header.
Yeah.
You're talking about the cross for against Chelsea, Nabi?
Yeah, the
outside leg cross.
Rashford would have run into signboard trying to hit him out. I beg, let's move on and talk about something else, Jerry. Rashford.
So, Francis, final word from you. Tell Rashford at the end of the season.
No, I've explained this already, right? Like, I'm not just selling Rashford for selling sake. What are we trying to do? What are we trying to achieve? Because if we're still playing this our madness, then we need mad people. We do need mad people, and Bruno and Rashford, you can't see any more mad people like that. But if we're going into a controlled kind of game, man, yo.
Let's briefly talk about the game that actually we just ended today. There was a game with Liverpool at Old Trafford. Game ended 2-2, but Liverpool had like the better of the first half, and then we came back in the second half. A wonderful goal by Kobbie Mainoo. Again, please God, don't let them ruin this boy for me, because it's only so much you can do when you see everybody else being incompetent around you, right? So now or later, that's gonna rub off on you. And I hope, you know, for the future of United, that this boy just continues to put his head down and work on his game, because I don't know what we're gonna do if Mainoo starts playing like everybody else around him, right? But anyways, I think it was a good game. It was a good back and forth game, especially in the second half. But we took the lead. When we took the lead, ETH made some substitution. He subbed Garnacho out. No, I think Rashford got a knock first, and then Anthony came in, and then he subbed Garnacho and Mainoo for Mount and somebody else.
Amrabat.
Which, when that happened, I think I put a message in the chat saying, why did he take Garnacho and Mainoo off? Anyways, that's in the year there. But the game ended 2-2. This is the second game in a row that we played Liverpool in the last 2 weeks. That at least we've showed up to the game. We might not have played well, but at least we showed up and we scored some goals. So.
Nah, we didn't show up, man.
We didn't show up, man.
We didn't show up.
What do we mean? The second half we played. You don't think we played better in the second half?
Man, we played well, yes.
Yeah, but like this game is madness. This is not a defined game. Like if we play a better team in this kind of game, they will beat us very well. Like what is
like,
showing
the
up?
The chances that Liverpool missed today are not like you can't play that way and rely on teams missing those chances. Like especially the first half, like. Jibo, you said we didn't play well the first half. An understatement. We conceded 15 shots and we didn't have a single shot on. We didn't have a single shot of any kind. And the chances that Liverpool conceded, I think I even put it in one of the groups, like Liverpool is playing with their foot. Because you could see it was chance after chance after chance. And it wasn't like one-on-ones necessarily, but it's like you have scored 2 out of those 5.
Yeah.
You have 15 of
No, yeah. That Salah definitely had like 2 goals he left out there in the first half.
You know, so for me, and even in the second half that we're talking about, they also had good chances. Like at the very end where Diaz skies that ball, that could easily be going in, right? So it's not that, like I don't want to, because I know there are lots of people out there, like a lot of fans out there of United that listen and are like, they came back. What more do you want from them? Like, you know. Yeah, I get it. Like the ETH is good to talk about. They showed heart and they showed determination and they kept going to the very end. But it's just like, this is not something you can count on. You can't count on playing this way. And when you get the 2-2, you're like celebrating like, yes, we really played well today. It's just like, this is not sustainable to me anyway.
No, I agree with you. I think the reason why I wasn't like, because I think us conceding like 15 shots at this point, this is just what we should expect from United. I guess that was the point I was trying to make, that this to us, this is us playing okay. Because we considered the most shots in this. I think we're number one right now, like in terms of the amount of shots we're considering this season in 2024. I think 150. As you know, Nana has seen like 150 shots since 2024 clocked in. Like, that's just
240 something now.
That is crazy, man.
Or they should be firing the shots at him. For all the nonsense he was doing before.
No, actually, yeah. Like Onana, like I've come around.
I've come around.
Like he's not the problem in this team. Like he's
was he not the problem? Who kicked us out of Champions League? No, in Champions League we scored so many goals.
That's true. Onana made so many mistakes.
So many mistakes. Right. That affects confidence. Okay. Who brought us to where we are now?
You just want to keep saying double cheeseburger.
I've never called him that in a long time. When Onana plays well, let's actually be honest. When he plays well, I'll say he played well. He has been playing well. But my point here is, I don't even know what my point is, man. Like, yo, fuck yeah, you guys leave me alone.
Anyways, can we? I don't know. What are we gonna do with Casemiro? Like, I felt like today he was playing like he didn't want to be on. Like, every ball he gave, I don't think he completed a pass today. Maybe it's just me. I feel like every pass he made was just a wayward pass.
Larry made a very good point at the beginning where, like, he said something about United players that they run a lot or something in training and it is leading to injuries. Do we think that has derailed Casemiro?
100%.
Like, actually, someone was telling you,
he played too many games.
But Larry, last season, you were the one that was saying that he should continue playing that many games. Remember me and Francis were complaining about the amount of games I was playing?
No. Larry didn't say
He said, no, we talked about rest now. I can't remember we were arguing about rest. And Larry was like, oh, they should continue playing. That was rest.
I always defended the number of games that we played, though. Like, I always said that these players have played more than anybody else.
Yeah, I think Larry said that. And what Larry was saying was he wanted us to even play in other leagues, like Europa League, all those things, so these players can have more games to play.
This not necessarily the main guys. I didn't want us to get kicked out of Champions League and have nothing else.
Yeah, for the main guys, Larry was saying, and I mean, Larry is here, he can probably speak for himself, but I think what you were trying to say is we don't have anybody else, so why wouldn't the best guys just play? If we had someone else, then, you know, these guys, you were saying that these guys should not be playing the amount of games they play for a team like United, but we don't have anybody else.
Well, anyways, back to your question. Do you think, so Francis, you are saying, like, do you think the amount of games they've played or the amount of running they've done is what has affected Casemiro? Because to be fair, Casemiro never used to get injured in Madrid.
Casemiro's legs are gone, man. His legs are gone. Like, I feel like Ola would dust Casemiro in DM. Casemiro's legs are done. Like, once you pass him, right? No, there are two things Casemiro does. Either he's lunging and he gets the ball or he doesn't get the ball, or he just makes a lazy stretch, which doesn't do anything and you can easily beat him. So he's done. He's done. That's one way to put it. He's done.
This but summer again, is going to be extremely important, man. Like, I know we've
I feel like we've said that about every summer.
We've said that every summer.
No. Summer. But the reason why this is more important the most important that it's been so far is because of this new structure, right? Like, in all likelihood, we're going to get a new manager. In all likelihood, they are going to have to come up with a format or like an identity of, you know, they have to show to the fans that this is what we want to do and they have to sell us on something, right? Again, somebody is going to come and talk about rebuild and it's going to take time and we need another 10 players and we need open heart surgery and all of these things. But some of the players that we have, the personnel, like, we really need to make decisions. Like, is somebody like Scott going to stay? Is someone like Harry Maguire going to stay? Someone like Casemiro going to stay? Is someone like Mason Mount going to stay? We can't sell all these players, right?
No,
but it's like
Mason Mount, money, Miss Road.
I think there are some players that we can maybe say that they don't know that they're leaving. Well, you never really know with United. Ed Woodward can come back in and say he wants to retain value. But I think Martial is done. I think Martial is gone. I think Varane
is a free agent.
Yeah, I think Varane too is a free agent. I think Varane
is a free agent.
Yeah. I think Casemiro is done.
I think Casemiro is a little harder, only because he still has. We signed Casemiro to a 5-year contract.
We really, Jesus, we signed this guy.
So unless Saudi comes to get him, who's going to give him?
Nobody's going to Saudi League anymore these days, anyway. So
Saudi has kind of calmed down.
Yeah, they've calmed down with the money. So we would have taken advantage of that, like when they were sledging money. Like I don't think they're doing that anymore. So we're gonna have to get really creative.
And then you also have to replace these guys. That's the other thing. So you can't just say we're going to sell all these people. Who are you going to replace them with? And then are you tied to me again? It's like I keep going back to some of these coaches. If you're a coach, you should be, part of your job is to be able to get the players to play in the way that you want them to play. Right? So yes, there's some push and pull there where they might not, like, not everybody will be best in what you're asking them to do, but ultimately that's your job as a coach, is like drill this shit into them. And that's again my problem with ETH. I would like to kind of see Mason Mount play as a number 10 if they're going to keep him. At least play in Bruno's position and see what it looks like when it's somebody else that is there that isn't going to just chuck the ball away right away. Right now, Bruno is our captain, so that makes it more difficult because, again, we're going to have another captain that might not be starting all the time, all these kind of questions. But if we get rid of Harry, if we get rid of Aran, you know, we have Johnny Evans. I mean, he's also a free agent. That's three defenders potentially.
Lindelof is a free agent. Is he a free agent?
I think he's a free agent at the end of the season. Or maybe, did he just sign?
They should just let them go. All of them should just go.
But you could, then who are you going to sign?
It's not like they are playing now anyway.
Let's take advantage of the free agent markets too, man. Like I'm sure they are free agent.
No way. Kambwala will play. I liked that. I like the kid today, man.
In the next 2 months now, you say you hope this team doesn't ruin him like Meno.
I feel like we have some good young prospects. Let them play. At least let's do that.
We are tending Mengi that is in Luton now. We could have kept him. I don't know if Kambwala is better than him.
Tenden Mengi.
I mean, look at Liverpool. Look at who Liverpool's playing in the back.
Larry, you've called a lot of players. You've called a lot of names. I remember that guy. What's the name that ended up going to Aston Villa? What's his name?
Which guy?
Larry knows. He's laughing. He knows the guy I'm talking about.
Oh, I know the guy you're talking about. Larry used to come on every pod and say...
What's his name again?
Before I said Tengiz, Mengi's name, I knew Francis would come.
Larry, remind me. What's his name again?
Nah, bro.
Please now.
Going back to it, like I don't know, like it's going to be an interesting summer for us because we can't.
I hope it wasn't a sun assist.
And again, it's like how many of these players are truly as bad as we think they are, and how many of them are just in a dysfunctional situation? Because again, like you look at Tottenham, or again you look at Newcastle, you look at Aston Villa. These are teams that were struggling before they made the coach change, and now they are like a lot of the same players are playing like they have a new lease on life. So I wonder about stuff like that. And then who is the manager that they're going to pick? If it's Gareth Southgate, bro.
Let me tell you guys now. I think ETH is going to be here for another season. All indications are saying, again, from the other pods we listen to, they're saying like Ineos, they don't actually really want to make that decision this season. They want to focus more on the structure and making sure everything is good first before.
I think it's possible, but I think the way we're playing towards the end of this season, I think it's it's going to
think it's gonna tough. It's gonna make them change their mind.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough to justify keeping him in position. Now again, I don't think it's impossible because he only has 1 year left, so you can
that's what I'm saying because you'd have to pay him out
financial compensation. You can use that time to build a little more of a structure. Like, none of the people that we're trying to get are in place. Omar Barada hasn't started. Jason Wilcox hasn't started. Ashworth hasn't started. All of these people have non-compete clauses. So Barada can start in the summer. United is still negotiating with Newcastle for Ashworth. And then Wilcox, I don't even know what that agreement is going to look like. So how many of these guys are going to be in place before the summer? What does the summer transfer look like? What does the organizational setup look like? So there are those issues. The one good thing I will say is that our under-21s and under-18s are actually doing pretty well. Like, we have some talent that looks good that is coming behind, you know. I don't know, especially our under-18s, there are some young bulls there that, like, look like they're going to be very good. Like, Fletcher has some twins. There are some Russian, Dagestani boys that are going crazy. So we have some young bulls that look good, but we can't rely on them anytime soon. So
no, we should. I don't know. We should play the young guys, man. Like, these old heads are not doing anything. I don't like. It's not like we're winning with the old heads. Are we winning?
Are you going to ruin them?
That's a good point. But I feel like those guys will be more hungry, or they'll probably, maybe they'll be able to play more of whatever style Itzi wants to play. Because if you play the younger guys, then you don't have to worry about Maguire being too slow, right?
Yeah, but you have other worries, right? Like, these young guys are going to be playing against Premier League opposition. I mean, look at Kambuala. Like, he got his opportunity. He hasn't looked bad.
I think he played well, though. I don't know why you guys are like, to me, I feel like he played really well today.
No, I'm using it as an example to say, yes, that's an example of giving a young player a chance that has looked good. So you never, like...
Like Luka Meno too, right?
Yeah, but Meno is different. Meno, man.
Meno's about to turn 19, though.
Yeah, that was an amazing goal. I know we haven't talked too much about it, but that was an amazing goal. You know, when he takes that shot, he's not even looking at the post. Somebody, I think it's like him and Garnacho that, like... He looks at Garnacho and then whips it, like, takes the shot, and he's just like, wow.
But that's one of the first things I started the game, this pod, we were saying about. The thing that impresses me with Meno is that he knows his surrounding before he gets the ball. Does that make sense? I feel like that's the only way you can do that, because you know the guy behind you is not going to get to you by the time you touch the ball with your half leg, and then you spin and you hit the ball. Like, I feel like if it was somebody else, they would probably rush it, or they would do something stupid. And the chance is gone.
Rashford is not scoring that, but we'll leave that for another.
Leave Rashford alone, mate. He's injured. Don't kick a man while he's down.
He will run back to our box 18. Anyways.
Our next game is against, I think, Brentford, like, next week. So we should have a report before then. So I don't think we need to preview that.
Yeah. It's next week Saturday, I guess, but
I'm just trying to pull up the table so I can quickly see where we're at on the table. So right now, we're still sixth with a goals difference of -1. Yeah, Arsenal has a goals difference of 51. And then we are, right now, we are, how many points behind? We are 11 points behind Aston Villa with one game in hand. So we have one game in hand. And we are 11 points behind Tottenham.
No, we're nine points. Yeah. We're 9 points.
No, I'm counting. They are leading 3-1. So I'm
counting today's game. Okay.
But the table is like a live table showing.
Yeah, no, that fifth place that ETH was talking about, you can forget about it.
Yeah, so there are 6 games to go, and if we win our game in hand, we will then be 8 points behind Aston Villa. And I just, there's nothing about the way that we've played so far that suggests to me that we will be able to, you know, cover up that distance on Aston Villa. Although Aston Villa seem to be in a little bit of a struggle themselves, I think they won against Wolves, but before that, their last 2 games, they've drawn and they've lost.
Yeah, so, but I feel like they've set themselves up in a position that it's going to be tough for them to lose that fourth, right? Like, they would have to, like, really go on a downward spiral for them to lose that spot.
Well, they're playing Liverpool, they're playing Brighton, they're playing Chelsea, they're playing Arsenal and Crystal Palace. Those are their remaining games.
Those are tough games. So, Crystal Palace is not a, it's not a small team to go and play like that.
But we'll see what United says, man.
All right. This brings us to the end of the pod. Thank you all for listening. Please give us a follow on socials at What Will Fergie Do on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Also, rate and review us. You can now do that on Spotify.
We've been active on TikTok. You guys should follow. We're a great
follower. Yeah.
TikTok.
Five stars only. Anything less than five stars.
Keep it to yourself.
Y'all know the vibe.